From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Thursday, March 21st, and here are today's headlines. The Vermont House yesterday gave approval to legislation requiring homeowners and landlords to disclose if their property has been previously damaged by flooding. The bill also mandates disclosure if the property is located in a federally designated hazardous floodplain. Middletown Springs Representative Robin Chestnut Tangerman says Vermont is among a minority of states lacking such a requirement on the books.
Starting with Tropical Storm Irene, we have seen three 100-year floods in the last 12 years. It's climate change in action. Many, many dwellings were affected by the flooding, yet the majority of buyers and renters may not be aware of actual or potential flood impacts on their properties.
The bill also calls on property owners to disclose if they are required to have flood insurance. Vermont State Police say they've arrested the owner of a controversial military-style training facility in West Paulette. Daniel Bonnier was arrested after a physical struggle with a constable in Paulette near the intersection of State Routes 30 and 133, according to state police. Bonnier had been the subject of an arrest warrant for several months after ignoring an order to remove several unpermitted structures from his property. He reportedly had left Vermont at one point. Bonnier's attorney, Robert Kaplan, did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Merrill Bent, Paulette's attorney, said yesterday afternoon the town is working on next steps, but has no comment on specifics. Neighbors who complained about his facility, Slate Ridge, say Bonnier and his accomplices terrorized them. Bonnier has said he was not operating a paramilitary training facility and that the property is primarily a farm. The 10-member panel that negotiates a statewide teachers' contract for health care was set to begin bargaining next month, but instead it decided to extend the existing agreement, which expires at the end of 2025, for another 2 years. Members of the Commission for Public School Employee Health Benefits say they want to take that time to pursue reforms for reducing health care costs. School boards and unions, which have equal representation on the commission, fought each other bitterly in the last two rounds of negotiations. Now that the two sides have come together to demand larger reforms, Commission Co-Chair Mike Campbell is hopeful they can make a difference.
To be honest with you, that's game-changing. We now are working together to do that for not only for the educational staff in the state, but for the taxpayers in the state.
The agreement now runs through 2027. Fewer students in Vermont and nationwide are applying for college financial aid. The sharp decline could cause college enrollment to fall for the 2024-25 school year. It could also lead to students paying more money to go to school. Patrick LeDuc is with the Vermont Student Assistance Corporation, or VSAC. He says the online form called FAFSA had a delayed and buggy rollout this year. Yesterday on Vermont Edition, he said VSAC and school counselors are still encouraging students to finish their applications.
We're normally doing this work early on in October, November, December. We couldn't even do what we would call forms nights, where we go into schools and work with school counselors to say, we're going to set up a bunch of laptops, we're going to help people fill out their FAFSA, because we couldn't predict whether it would even be available. So a lot of the normal systems were just kind of hamstrung this past year.
FAFSA is the gateway application for all sorts of aid, from federal and state dollars to Pell Grants. About a quarter fewer high school seniors in Vermont have submitted FAFSA compared to this time last year. The University of Vermont men's basketball team has a new high-profile supporter. Former President Barack Obama is predicting the Catamounts will score a big upset by defeating Duke University in the first round of the NCAA tournament on Friday. Obama is an avid basketball fan who releases bracket predictions every year. He has UVM losing in the round of 32 after defeating Duke. The Catamounts enter the first round as the 14th-seeded team in the South Regional Bracket, while the Blue Devils are seeded fourth. If UVM can play David to Duke's Goliath, it'll be the biggest upset in UVM program history since the team that was seeded 13th upended 4th-seeded Syracuse University back in 2005. Tip-off is set for 7:10 p.m. Friday at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. The game will be broadcast on CBS. Coming up, in Vermont, tourism dollars from snowmobiling are at risk as snow conditions become increasingly less reliable. Examining the economic importance of the Vast Trail. That's after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to VITA for their support. VITA, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit veda.org to start your next chapter.
Snowmobiling brings in millions of dollars to Vermont each year. But increasingly unreliable snow conditions are threatening the feasibility of the sport and the businesses that depend on it. That's why Barb Hubrex of Danville submitted this question to our podcast, Brave Little State.
What is the impact of the Vast Trail on Vermont's economy?
Reporter Howard Weiss-Tisman takes it from there.
Jeannie, do you know how much these bags are?
$1.39.
It's a busy Saturday afternoon at Marty's first stop in Danville. There are three employees working the cash registers and a steady line of customers moving through the checkout with bags of groceries.
Who's that?
Over in the corner at the deli counter, they're slinging cups of soup. Their corn chowder is a favorite with the snowmobile crowd. It's the kind of winter day Vermonters are becoming increasingly more familiar with, kind of warm and misty. And it's a little quiet in the deli. Not at all like the old days.
In the 80s, when this whole place would be just packed with snow machines, so we did need to prepare extra food, extra, you know.
Meet Martin Beatty. He opened Marty's first stop 35 years ago, here in the Northeast Kingdom, along Route 2. Marty's is right along an extensive trail system maintained by the Vermont Association of Snow Travelers, also known as VAST. They have more than 20,000 members, and the group builds and maintains more than 6,000 miles of trails. There's an access trail that starts right at the store's parking lot. Marty's made sure the store has everything the snowmobilers might need. Gas, hot soup, a place to park. But what Marty can't control is the weather. And he says as Vermont's winters have been getting warmer, there are simply fewer days to fire up the snowmobile and hit the trail.
It's pretty mild out right now compared to January's back in the 90s. And the amount of snow that there is for him to ride on is a lot less and seems to start a little bit later and end a little bit sooner. So it's taken a toll on the number of people participating in the sport.
The number of people participating in the sport has gone down, as Vermont's snowfall has been on the decline. VAST is selling about half the number of annual trail passes as it did back in 2001. And the number of snowmobiles registered in Vermont is also down by about half over that same time frame, according to the Agency of Transportation. So the cost of things like insurance, snow grooming machines, and gas is going up. And the amount of money that VAST takes in is melting away.
If we continue to have less and less snow, you know, the sport will probably, you know, go away.
Cindy Locke is executive director of VAST. She says less money coming in from registrations and trail passes means less money for VAST to support the local clubs that maintain the trails.
Will we survive this? I don't know. You know, I don't know if snowmobiling will survive, you know, winters without snow. I know they won't. Like, we won't survive after just a few if we have brown winters.
One part of the snowmobile economy that's taken a hit is the touring sector. At one point, there were about 30 companies in Vermont renting out snow machines and taking visitors on guided tours. But due to warm winters, insurance costs, and changes in how the companies are regulated, most of the guided tour companies have shut down or moved to ski resorts, where the snow cover is more reliable. But that hasn't stopped April Volofsky.
Now to start off, guys, we are going to start slow and easy, okay? This trail system does start out a little bit windy, a little bit narrow, and we're going to stay roughly between the 10 to 15 mile an hour mark. The reason why we're doing
April, who's from Pennsylvania, has been leading outdoor adventure groups her entire professional life, mostly rafting trips farther south. She rode a snowmobile for the first time while visiting Vermont in 2017. 3 years later, she helped open Vermont Mountain Adventures near Manchester.
It's been out of the park since we started. The first year in 2020, we were constantly sold out. We can kind of guarantee that Saturdays and Sundays are going to be sold out as well. It's been fantastic. Of course, we've had a few mild winters. Anybody that's been here this year specifically is pretty aware of that. It's been pretty mild.
Back at Marty's first stop in Danville, Robert Reed is sitting outside finishing lunch. Robert says he's been snowmobiling in Vermont since the 1970s.
We don't live in a ski area town where we had this influx of you know, finances coming in. We live in rural Northeast Kingdom. We don't have the stoves. We don't have the sugar bushes. You know, this is small towns with, you know, snowmobilers and four-wheelers and fishermen and hunters. You know, that's the income.
Inside the store, Martin Beattie tells me that a lot has changed in the kingdom since he opened up 35 years ago. Marty's first stop is open all year, and it's never been only about the snowmobile business. But he says back when we had reliable snow, business from the snowmobiles, or snow machines, as Marty calls them, made it easier to bridge the gap between the busy leaf-peeping season and the warmer weather.
So if we had a good snow machine weekend and they support us well, it was a real bonus. But you don't want to plan on making your payments on something that's dependent on the weather in Vermont, for sure.
Still, he'll always have hot corn chowder waiting for the snowmobilers, as long as they show up. For Vermont Public, I'm Howard Weiss-Tisman.
That was an excerpt from a recent episode of Brave Little State, our podcast answering questions about Vermont that have been submitted and voted on by listeners. You can hear the rest of that episode about snowmobiling at bravelittlestate.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Bob Kinzel, Mark Davis, Lola Dufour, Michaela Lefrak, and Nathaniel Wilson. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Talk to you tomorrow.
How are we supposed to fix what we don't talk about? Welcome to Homegoings, a Vermont Public podcast that encourages fearless conversations about art and race.
It's like an extended family, and especially around homegoing time.
Join us for Homegoings, wherever you get your podcasts. We're a proud member of the NPR network.